Hello, everybody. Welcome to Your Place. I started early. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Your Place, Blog Talk Radio, where your voice is the one that's important. And we're kind of getting a big kick right now because we have planned this out to the very finest detail so that I am actually driving through Kansas City, Kansas right now. At the same time, I'm supposed to be doing some work with my job. At the same time, this radio program started. So I am doing so good today. The best laid with the plans of mice and men. But anyway, our topic tonight was for people to call in that had phrases or quotes or unusual words that your family uses that nobody else uses. And we've kind of went through some of those last week on my sister's blog talk show where we were reminiscing about Dad's five-year anniversary from us losing him. And one of the things that he had said in his father used to say was the word larrapin. And I used to think that that was something they had made up until I was in Texas past a barbecue place and said, eat our barbecue, it's larrapin good. So I know now that larrapin means good to other people besides people in our family. But we wanted people to call in and just give us, you know, it could be a family quote, a quote from a book, from a famous person, just whatever it is that, you know, something that touches you, you want to share. And if you want to give a little explanation about it or something like that, then you can do that too. I was talking to my mother earlier, and I was sharing with her how one of the things that I remembered is more a quote that's in our family that we use is real funny, but we used to, it came from my sister where all of a sudden she said, look, Mom, it's Jesus and God. And my mother, of course, almost wrecked the car trying to look and see who it was, but we've constantly brought that up over and over through the years, and it turned out that it was two men working on a telephone pole. And but my sister, being the spiritual person that she was at the age, I think, of about 3.5 or 4, she thought that she had just had her true vision of Jesus and God coming back to take us away. Do you have
hard
anything you'd like to ask? You what?
Hard hats and all.
Yeah, hard hats. No.
Well, we have a caller. Let me make sure that the button is working. All right, Dash, you're on the line.
All right, I got a couple of quotes for you from Albert Einstein. The first one says, two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. And then he says, I'm not sure about the universe.
That's mean. Especially coming from him.
Yeah. And then he says, we can't solve problems using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them.
I wish the Republicans would pay attention to that. A little dig at the poor Republicans since none of them are on the line right now.
That's not be a Republican. You don't know.
He's not. Did you hear what that, could you hear that one, Bill?
Yeah, it was. I also heard what you had to throw in there, too.
I didn't know if it was coming through clear for you. You got any more, Dash? Dash is our Einstein quoter for tonight.
Well, I got one from Goethe, and says, if each one of us sweeps in front of our own steps, the whole world would be clean.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're good at finding quotes. You have a hidden talent I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to hold on and listen to, or do you want to give any more right now?
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. We have a call from Mississippi. I think it's probably, is this you, Mom? Uh-oh. What'd I do? I don't know, but your hand's raised and you're on the air.
Okay, I pushed one. It told me to, and so I listened to your program the other day on afterwards. I didn't get into really late, and it was real good.
It was a little drifty. I don't know why this is so fun to me to play with this radio stuff, but it is.
Have y'all been on very long today?
4 minutes.
Well, I was waiting around and waited too long.
Do you have any brilliant quotes?
Yeah, your dad. sister never on time. I just lived up to it, didn't I? They used to call me Sister Never On Time.
I have one here. It says, "What doesn't kill me does not make me stronger. It makes me anxious, grouchy, and vulnerable. But nobody wants to see that embroidered on a pillow."
That's
good. Kind of negative there, bringing the negative side of things. I do like funny quotes.
Can I tell you one that's not funny?
Yes.
Oh, I had it written down here. It's not got a laugh. "From the day of your birth till you ride in the hearse, there's nothing so bad that it couldn't be worse."
That is funny.
That was quoted to me this week, and I thought, that's neat. So I called the person.
You just made a poem.
Huh?
It sounded like a little poem there.
Well,
this goes with your Sister Never On Time one. I have one that says, "I've noticed that the people who are late are often so much jollier than the people who have to wait for them."
No, that's the truth.
You got any more, Bill?
Man, I'm a quote person master. Right now my GPS is saying turn right here.
We have another
quote of the day.
Yeah, Mom, I don't know if you know about this, but this hit exactly wrong in point of view of him. He's exactly where he's supposed to be getting right when it was time to start the radio show. So he's trying to navigate that big old truck at the same time as do this.
Oh, that's not good.
Let me see who this is.
I remember another one from my sister when she was about 4 or 5 years old, when she said that she was never going to have children because she didn't want to share her toys.
I should have listened to myself. We have somebody from Tennessee. Let me see. Tennessee, you're on the line. Hello. It's Starla. Is it? You'd think I'd have your number memorized by now, but no.
You would think.
Bill had something earlier he was hoping you would call in with, but I don't remember what it was. Do you remember, Bill?
I don't know.
He's trying to navigate.
He knows what her quote is.
What?
Tell us your quote.
No. Listen.
It's a private quote?
Yes.
Do you want me to just put you on hold and then you'll push one if you want to talk?
Sure.
Okay. She's going to quit calling in if I don't quit picking her up when she hadn't pushed one. Dash, if you decide you want to share another one, push one. Mama, you missed Dash's quotes.
He listed it on the archive.
Oh, wait.
Another quote that really jumps out at you, or really jumps out at me, came from Job in the Bible, who said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And when you get to looking at all the trials that he went through when he said that, it lets you know what an exceptional person he was to understand what we need to have as far as a relationship with God.
That's true. I've got Dash pushed his one, so you're back on, Dash.
All right. I got one more quote from Einstein. He says, "I know not what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones."
I've heard that before. I'm going to unmute Mama in case she just suddenly has things she wants to say, because her light is always on. And Jennifer is with us in the chat room. See if she's got something to say.
I blackmailed her. I was going to give her one of her quotes, but she didn't call in, so she said she would.
She says she's here, but she can't hear us. Y'all talk because I can't do the chat at the same time. Mom, Dash, and you are all unmuted, so y'all talk amongst yourselves while I chat.
Do we talk?
Huh?
Are we talking on the air, or are we just talking to each other?
Hey, we're talking on the air. You are live on Blog Talk Radio.
Samuel Chadwick said something very interesting. "Truth without enthusiasm, morality without emotion, ritual without soul, are things Christ unsparingly condemned. Destitute of fire, they are nothing more than a godless philosophy, an ethical system, and a superstition." That's a big quote, isn't it?
Really?
It's very good, though.
Very good.
And I got a bunch of them. I wrote them in my book, Rhonda Joy, Lie of Boris Johnny. I had a bunch of quotes in my book, the Woolly Worm, and so I thought I'd open them up, and if we got to them, we'd share them.
I wasn't ignoring you, but I was muted, so y'all wouldn't hear my little clicking fingers.
One of the neat things about the Woolly Worm, you know, people, we tend to judge each other. I had someone come up to me and tell me how someone didn't meet their specification for something. And the woolly worm in the little time that he's in the cocoon, from the caterpillar to the cocoon, it can be a few hours, a few weeks, or even up to 14 years before he actually becomes the golden hooded moth. So sometimes people may be doing the best they can, well, obviously, the best they can do. We shouldn't judge them.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea to assume that people are.
That's what I keep trying to motion to all these people when I'm swerving all around trying to do a Blog Talk radio show and dialing phone numbers and looking at directions while I'm driving down the road and I ease into their lane. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm doing the best I can do.
I realize I just squished you, but
yeah.
I'm bigger
than
you.
Sleepy,
you are. You should be able to avoid me.
It's a little bit of a blood sugar drop. I decided a couple of days ago that I would eat all the candy that I wanted. The moral of that story is don't do that. So I've been sort of dragging. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "You don't have to see the whole staircase; just take the first step."
I like that. That's good.
That was a good one.
Another
I have another funny one. What?
What is the difference between lollygagging and sashaying?
Lollygagging is going slow and taking your time, and sashaying is walking with all kinds of attitude.
Hey, cool.
That's good, Joybell.
I've got one.
I thought they were pretty much the same thing. So,
if ignorance is bliss, why aren't more people happy?
I resemble that remark.
Ma, you missed. Dash, do the one again that Einstein said about people's stupidity.
Oh, yeah. Two things are infinite: the universe and human stupidity. And then he says, "I'm not sure about the universe."
Oh, that's good. I don't know, with my blood sugar as low as it is, if I just gave this quote. Did I just give a quote by Einstein?
Nope.
It's sad, isn't it?
No, I have to mute myself.
One cannot alter a condition with the same mindset that created it in the first place. Albert Einstein.
And Dash had one that was very, very similar to that. I'll make you repeat all yours, Dash, but what was the one about you can't solve a problem with the same? And I made a Republican crack bomb.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We can't solve problems using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them.
That's good.
That's the same one. That's similar. I just
yeah,
this one
same point.
Yeah, that was good. I like Einstein's way of thinking.
Well, while we're at Einstein, I have one last one. It says, common sense is the collection of prejudices acquired by age 18.
That one I have to think about. I already saw it whenever he was writing it off, but that's interesting.
Huh.
So common sense is basically everything that you've kind of picked up. But then on the other hand, that wouldn't make common sense seem like something you need to hold on to. Oh, we've got Jennifer.
Can you hear me?
Yes. And Bill, earlier she was on through the internet and couldn't hear us.
I still can't hear through the internet.
That's bad to know.
That's how I got your program on, was the archives.
Were we brilliant? I can't even remember what all we said.
It was very good. I enjoyed it. I didn't get to hear all of it, but I just sat back and enjoyed what you were saying about Poppy.
Isn't it fun that we can just free and easily have a radio show?
It is.
I'm looking forward to the day when we learn how to work everything on there. We can get music, and we can really get this thing nailed down. This is our third or fourth show.
Third, I think.
Now, I think on this station it's only the second, isn't it? Or is it the third?
It's the second on yours.
second actual real hour-long one. Jones, you have
your show is real.
Well, no, yeah, but it's a whole different. Joybee or whatever weird name I ended up with because I didn't realize I was naming my show when
it
we first started.
It was cute.
Are you? Do you have a quote?
yeah, I can say one from Granny.
Okay, that's good. She's highly quotable.
Don't spend money you don't have.
All right.
That's 100% Granny.
Fortunately, none of us listen to her.
Well, I kind of do.
Smarty pants. Got to go again.
Anytime y'all get ready, holler at me.
Oh, right.
Grandma sounds like she's prepared.
All right, go, Mom.
C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. I like C.S. Lewis.
I think we need to do the quote show earlier.
What?
Oh. Takes my brain a minute to figure
I
out.
Got something funny when y'all have time for me again.
Well, that's good tease. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you hear about the Texas teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put on his cowboy boots? He asked for help, and she could see why. Even with her pulling and him pushing, the little boot still didn't want to go on. By the time they got the second boot on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost cried when the little boy said, Teacher, they're on the wrong feet. She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on the right feet. He then announced, These aren't my boots. She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, Why didn't you say so? Like she wanted to. Once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off his little feet. No sooner had they gotten the boots off when he said, They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them. Now, she didn't know if she should laugh or cry, but she mustered up what grace and courage she had left to raffle the boots on his feet again. Helping him into his coat, she asked, Now, where are your mittens? He said, I stuffed them in the toes of my boots. She will be eligible for parole in 3 years.
I've heard that before, and I find it funny.
Now, you're not supposed to say you read it again. Read it before, I mean. Whatever, that's the end of my list, I hope. I like to hear chuckling at the other end of the...
That's what I provide, the chuckles.
Now, we don't have a button we push. Joy, this is the official chuckler.
And that's what we should do, come up with some little... when we fix our little... There's all kinds of things you can do on here. We just haven't had a chance to play with it and do it, but we can have canned laughter when we need it. Just push a button.
Oh, I need that.
That'd be funny. Well, we'll have to come up with the can laughter, but we can put it on here. All right, Jones, I think there's more from you. Am I right?
I really don't have much. I don't have anything. Although I'm going to say my headache has released. One of the cutest things that Jones did was looking at, and I use it, Jennifer, every time I teach just about our group of kids, when she looked at, I made the little puppet on my hand the time we're doing your homework.
Yes.
And you looked over at it after you began to respond so cutely, and then you looked right at it and said, Do you have a grandma? Oh, that was adorable.
You're adorable.
Did you say your headache's gone away, Jones?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
And the nauseous has gone away, too.
Yay. Do you have a virus?
You put her brain in gear, but it was.
It's been in gear all day. I pray it's not a virus. Oh, it's just everything's going around, and hopefully I'm fighting it off.
I have a good quote from Jennifer, although whenever I tell it, it doesn't sound as cool as it did in the moment whenever she actually said it. But somebody was being upset about so many things that were going on, and she let them have their say, and then she said, is there anything you can do about any of that? He said, no, and she said, all right then, just let it go. Move on to something you can do something about, and that is really good advice.
It is.
Really?
She's wise beyond her years.
I remember when we were climbing up Pinnacle Mountain in Arkansas. I think Jared was about 7 or 8 years old. And, I mean, he scampered up there just like it wasn't nothing. That boy, he reminded me of Barney Rubble of the Flintstones. Every time you saw him, his little legs was running this way or running that. But we got to the top, and he said, wow, just look at this world. Like
aww.
He could see the whole world right there in his perspective.
Sweet and young, and we don't know any better. I'm sorry.
Got a little cynical. All right, Mom, it's your turn.
Very happy climbing Pinnacle Mountain.
Henry Van Dyke. Happiness is inward and not outward, and so it does not depend on what we have, but on what we are. So, Henry.
Go, Henry. Go,
at least Paula's not raised her hand yet.
She likes to keep hers private. Starla, if you decide to share it with us, just push that one. Dash, did you use all yours?
Well, I got one more that I'm sure nobody's ever heard before. You ready?
Start speaking Farsi.
To be or not to be? This is the question.
No, you didn't.
Was I was going to do that one.
I gave you a chance.
That's so funny. I love you, Uncle Ashton.
Oh, I love you too.
If it wasn't so late, we could get Haley on here. I bet she can just come up with her own personal quotes.
You know it.
Funny.
She's
I will
so
tell them
cute.
About, I called on her birthday, and I said, this is definitely a group of people who will want to hear this story, and I said, I wish I could see you. Jennifer, correct me if I'm not saying it right, but it was just so funny. And she said, you just saw me. We're having a happy family here.
That's how she said it. My jaw dropped.
Because she's been here for Thanksgiving, and she's like, you greedy person, what do you want? See how they're laughing because they think, Mama, I chuckled on yours. I'm not going to hire you for my canned laughter track. It was funny. Okay, I'm going to control myself from telling all my Haley quotes since that one went over so well.
The other
morning.
Could
you go back and do another awesome one from Joy when she was little?
There was a little angel behind the bush.
He can come out whenever he
little
would. That was adorable. I mean, you
I
were.
I was thinking
were,
more of the thing where we grew up in a home that had a lot of sarcastic humor in it, and Dad had his own little way of saying things to everyone, and me and you thought we'd repeat those things, and they'd be just as funny when we said it as we thought they were when Dad said them. And
you've still
we
got
were
that
checking
problem.
Out, yeah. We were checking out at the Super Kmart, and you looked up at Mom, and she was writing her check, and said, Mom, you going to write another hot check?
Yeah. I mean, you did that, and I mean, I could have fainted. I mean, it wasn't at Kmart. I think it was at some big, nice store, a department store, and I'm already wondering if I've got enough money in the bank, you know. And so,
y'all tell this story, and y'all never tell the follow-up, which I think is so funny.
What was it?
And you looked at me just all panic-stricken and weird. I didn't know anything. You know, Daddy did say it as a joke, and I didn't really know what it meant.
Yeah.
So my follow-up was, is it going to bounce?
Oh, I don't remember. I already went out on the first part of it, I think. That was funny.
I think the lady laughed. I like the angel behind the bush better.
What about Jesus and God? Coming off the telephone pole, that was...
Bill kicked off with that. We need to think of some big quotes of him. He's laying us all out on the line.
Y'all all said the cute stuff. I didn't have anything cute. I was telling Mom, I remember when, of course, it talks about how old we are now when we stopped on our way back to Perryville, and outside of Little Rock to get Cokes, and she asked me if I paid for the bottles, and I said, yeah, I gave him 3 pence instead of 3 cents. I was going to say pennies or cents, and I mean, it came out with, I gave him 3 pence. For those that never had to pay for a bottle deposit, they're like, what are they talking about?
I don't know if it's more of a quote. I mean, it's more of a story than a quote, but it's cute because growing up and even still to this day, I'll tell Dad I love you, and he'll say, I love you more. And I'll say, no, I love you more. And he'll say, I love you more because I'm bigger. And I would always get stuck because he is bigger, and it's just really cute to me because me and Haley do it now.
Aww.
And she does. She gets stuck. And I know her feeling. So I let her win every now and then.
That's a cute thing to hand down from the generations.
Like Darth Vader talking to Obi-Wan. Now, I am master.
No, it's not like that.
No, it's not like that? Total silence. Like, who's Obi-Wan? Who's Darth Vader?
I know who Obi-Wan is. I think Mama is just looking up quotes.
No, I've got them right here in my book.
Mom's got
well,
a book of quotes. What you talk about?
I am looking up quotes. And it says, where words fail, music speaks.
That's good.
I like that.
What was it?
Where words fail, music speaks.
Oh, I love that.
Boy, sometimes that is so true, isn't it?
I wrote a song that had that line in it, and I must have heard that somewhere.
It must be a good quote.
Yep.
Here's a Stephen Covey quote. You have to decide what your highest priorities are and have the courage, pleasantly, smilingly, non-apologetically, to say no to other things. And the way to do that is by having a bigger yes burning inside. The enemy of the best is often the good.
That's good.
Yeah, I like that because there are so many things that can take up your time. And it seems like lately I'm having a lot of trouble figuring out what I want to do and end up not doing anything that I want to do in a day sometimes. And you know that Stephen Covey with his ways to be effective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned a new word when I was reading Stephen Covey, and then when I started to say that just now, my mind went blank on what my word was that I was paradigm. I never had heard everything brought down into paradigms before.
That's powerful, isn't it?
It is.
Shifting.
But that goes back to perception, too. Like that thing with Jared, you know, that was the biggest thing he had ever been on at that point. Looked out there, and you could see a long way across the Arkansas River and over towards, you know, Mama L and the lake and everything. It's real pretty over there. But, you know, just the way that just came just so out of his mouth is, you know, on his own. Of course, little kids have such a way of saying things that just blows you away when you're there to see it. And then some things are funny, too, like when, you know, of course, there, I got, you know, 3 children and 3 stepchildren, so there's always a bunch of kids riding in the car. They used to always scream, I got a shotgun, because everyone always wanted to ride in the front seat. Now, for some reason, a lot of places we went, Charlie would be in the car and I'd be in the pickup truck, so they could argue over who's going to get shotgun in what vehicle. But we had this thing going home on Sundays. We'd go out to eat after church. And then the house we were renting from Uncle Bill only had that one bathroom in it. And so I'd always say, I got the bathroom, and Matt would say, I got a shotgun.
We would call shotgun on the bathroom. That.
I'm like, there's not a sidecar on the toilet, Matt. I'm sorry. You have to wait your turn. And nobody laughed at that. Man, what an audience.
I did, because it's funny. I remember it.
Well, if you were as old as me and you remembered outside bathrooms and there was a shotgun inside, but anyway.
Here's one, and it's along the lines of what me and John had talked about. The word happiness would lose its meaning if it were not balanced by sadness. And I think that that's true.
I can give you another Jim Lively quote.
Good.
He said that you set your own value.
That's very true.
Somehow or another, that sounds true, but when you're filling out a job application and you're wanting to make so much money, it's kind of hard to figure out how to apply that. Me and Joy have talked about that a lot, haven't we, Joy? If we set our own value, then, you know, go into a place, you're going to pay me this much. You know, but it doesn't quite work that way.
I'm going to have a little mark beside mine because I can't remember. Use the talent you possess, for the woods would be very silent if no bird sang except the best. So Van Dyke again.
I'm trying to think where I've heard that before.
Did I not say Van Dyke? You're going to get a call here in a minute from a dear friend of ours.
Has she been to the Great White North?
Yes, she has.
Is she sitting over all excited, just waiting to come through?
I don't know.
Birds of wisdom with us?
We went to two different rooms so we wouldn't drown each other out.
I don't see her. Okay, here's one. To achieve the marvelous, it is precisely the unthinkable that must be thought.
Wow.
Say it one more time.
To achieve the marvelous, it is precisely the unthinkable that must be thought.
Boy, that is really true.
Tom Robbins. I'm still not seeing your new caller, Mom.
I got a quote, James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. I wonder why you're not getting a call.
The problem with... The problem with close...
Wait a minute,
all your circuits are busy. So I'm gonna hang up and let her.
No,
call.
No. There's some other reason for that, because I've got lines are open.
The lines are open. Okay, go ahead. She's going there. Dial and dial.
Now,
what do we all say at the same time?
The problem with quotes is that after them, you want to sit there and pause and think about them for a moment, and that's not really very radio friendly.
Well, I don't know if maybe a few would be maybe better than a bunch, or and do that. Pause and comment.
What were you going to say, Bill?
I was trying to remember the cause that the I can't even talk. The John had one the other day that he gave, that he said it was a quote from Jesus. I was trying to remember what that was when I was over at your house.
I don't remember.
It was very, very good. It was one of those things like,
Jesus
wow.
Is like that.
Oh, that's a four.
No, very quotable. I'm going to mute Mama so she can talk without worrying about being on here.
Yeah, do that. Thank you.
She's trying to explain to her dear friend who's been to the Arctic on mission trips how to dial a telephone.
Maybe the system's acting weird, since, don't forget, Jennifer couldn't hear it on the computer. That's sad.
Yeah, and it wouldn't even let me, you know, sign in for a while, so... This is still, we're learning this process and everything, and it's just going to take us a while to get all this down, which I never dreamed I'd be in Kansas City sitting on the shoulder of the road instead of making my delivery, because it's all timed up to be here at the same time.
I know. I can't believe that.
I can't believe we don't have any quotes from Grandpa Powell.
As my mind goes completely blank.
Me too. I mean, he was just... So with so many different things, you know, there's just so much personality. Grandpa
Grandpa always jumps out, which is an unusual word.
What does Grandpa have?
Well, no, it's not, like I can't remember an exact quote of his, but he loved telling stories, you know, and it came to me earlier, but Mama would probably tell it better, or maybe even you, about, I can't remember what the story was, but Mama wanted was just a little girl, and she wanted to say, I was so surprised, but instead she said, I was so prized. It must have been shockingly adorable to Grandpa because he told that story so many times. Excuse me as I cough in you guys' ears.
I think I kind of got a little bit from Dad and Grandpa on that. If you find something that pushes someone's buttons, you repeat it a lot. Like he told me one day he had found me a job when I was staying with him one time and looking for work. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, it's got free housing and everything. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. And he was talking about you had a vehicle there with supplies, you had a place to stay, you had free utilities as part of it, and it paid a really exuberant amount of money to have all those benefits. And I said, what is it? And he said, being the living custodian at the graveyard. I'm like, I said, yeah. And he got the biggest kick out of that. He told everybody, like, he said, yeah, you know. Anyway, needless to say, I did not go and apply for that job.
I'm going to open Mom back up because her hand is raised. There you are, Mom.
Well, actually, Sister Kaiser, how are you doing, Mom?
Oh, hi, Sister Kaiser. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well. Just you're hearing all about your radio program, you and Richie, and hearing you talk. And your mother mentioned something about cliches of the past or what were some sayings or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, my mother had one that says, we grow too soon old and too late smart.
And that's a sad truth.
It's really a sad truth.
It kind of goes, I know y'all have heard it's kind of the same point, but the flip side of that youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Of course, most of ours are rooted in our faith, and so things I may have to say will probably touch on some form of a religious experience, but she also said words are cheap, but action is expensive.
That's good.
Yeah, you get in trouble. You may say a lot, but you can get in trouble doing or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So y'all been having a good turnout or good people calling in?
Well, you're here.
Oh, that's good.
They're mostly family.
All right. Well, thank you. Now, on the religious side, I would say that this is a day of healthy unbelief and sick faith.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Healthy unbelief, but sick faith.
Yes.
That's interesting. I told Bill that one of the problems with quotes is, for the radio show, like, see, you say something like that, then we all want to pause and think about it for a second, which doesn't really go with radio. There's, like, always this little silence after somebody says something because we're all thinking about it.
So how'd she come up with all that? Did you ever hear the one that the old-timer said, if you dope the dog, don't complain when it doesn't bark?
No.
Oh, I'm a little bit older than you. I forgot. Oh, I forgot. I'm the old timers.
I'm just like 18.
For real.
Yeah.
Plus 18.
Deep down inside. Travel on this radio show.
Pardon
me? Hey.
What
just think, if I'm 18, then you're just like much younger too. You're 22.
Hey, I turned 50 twice, so I'm a happy camper.
Well, listen, we won't talk about that number either, but I know you've heard this one. You can't draw a straight line with a crooked ruler.
Yeah.
I have heard that. That's cute, though.
Yeah, you can't do it. You got to have it.
Jennifer,
well,
you got any more?
Oh, ma'am.
Well, yes.
We already pulled all of yours out.
Me?
Well, Jennifer.
Oh, here's another one. No fruit is better than its tree.
That's good. That makes me think of a scripture, but I can't think of it, so never mind. Just thought I'd let y'all know.
Okay, well,
that almost makes me think of a scripture.
No fruit is better than its tree. Oh, well.
But
I always said a tree is known by its fruit.
Yeah.
Is that a scripture?
No, I said my mother always said that.
Oh.
It may be a chimney corner scripture. You know, the old timers had those kind of scriptures.
I think that's what I was thinking of. A tree is known by its fruit.
My daddy always said the person who can knock off the most persimmons is the guy that's got the longest pole. Just keep knocking them off.
I've heard that one.
Well, on the spiritual side again, faith needs no crutches. Unless it's sick faith.
Which it is, because you just established that a minute ago.
Hey, sometimes. Well, I hope you guys have a really good time and get more people calling in. Just have just a good old rouse about time. hillbilly time.
Well, Sister Kaiser, I knew that. I figured you'd have a bunch of them old words that people don't say much anymore. That they used to say, like, you know, Dad used to say "larrapin" all the time for good, and I figured you might have some of those.
Well, larrapin was one of them.
Your family says larrapin.
Well, our mother, father did. We don't say it, I don't think, but it was used quite a lot. I don't know. I just can't think of all those words. There's so many, so much.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was up northeast one time. I was in this little bitty small grocery store that I was able to get my truck off the road, and I went in, and I bought, like, some potato chips, and I actually made sandwiches back with the meat department, this little bitty small store. And anyway, as I was, he said, "Would you like a poke with that?" And I'm like, I didn't know what to say. I wasn't even real sure what he said. I'm like, "I beg your pardon." He said, "Would you like a poke with that?" And I'm like, "No, thank you." Anyway, I found out later he wanted to know if I wanted a bag. They call it a poke.
Well, yeah.
Call it a poke?
I've heard of poke. I sure have.
I haven't.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're fighting like two in a poke.
They're fighting
you
like two pigs in the poke.
You like two pigs in a sack? You know, a poke?
Oh.
Sack,
no, I never knew that.
Really?
Yep.
They're so weird, like, or if you see a, well, maybe I should say.
Uh-oh.
You see a... Well endowed lady, her skirt's way too tight across the back, and her hips are moving real fast. They say like two pigs in a poke.
Where did you grow up, Sister Kaiser?
Well,
she's not grown up yet.
Okay, thank you very much. I haven't gotten away from
you're
it. Welcome. In South Mississippi, about 40 miles from the Louisiana state line.
Well, are you liking being back there for a while?
Well, I don't know. I left Mississippi in 1976 and think I didn't ever have any desire to go back.
The bicentennial year.
Yeah, I didn't have any desire. And I believe I'm allergic to Mississippi because I've got sick. I returned home from the Arctic for 3.5 weeks with double pneumonia, cold, and I've got this congestion back on me, and I think it's something here in this area.
It's pine trees. It gets me every time when they start, the pollen comes out like 2 or 3 times a year when the temperature changes, and it kills me.
Well,
I don't know how y'all live down there.
I don't like it per se.
Well, Austin is, and I did so much research when we were trying to look for where we wanted to move to, and it sure didn't come up in my research, but after we moved here, we found out that it's the allergy capital of the universe.
Well, thanks.
I know.
For all the info that you researched, how come it wasn't listed, huh?
Exactly. Put that in the literature.
Well, people want to come there for one thing. It'd be a ghost town before you know it. Choo, people flying out of there.
It would have never crossed my mind because I've lived in Georgia and Arkansas and Tennessee, and I wouldn't have thought that there would have been all that much allergies here, but I've fought more with it here than I ever have.
Well, now, when you go to the Arctic, it is absolutely pristine. There's zero humidity, and the barometric pressure doesn't work there. It's awesome. Other than being extremely cold, perfect weather.
Extremely cold.
Then it's extremely dry, maybe cold. But see, here we have the Gulf breezes blowing here from the Gulf of Mexico. And so you had all this stuff flying around. But up there, it is as dry as the Sahara Desert.
Huh.
That's not even an exaggeration. Your nostrils will freeze together if you don't lubricate them.
Do you
That's
guys
one place where you probably won't have a snotty nose.
Maybe it's got something, the getting sick's got something to do with being in that pure, pure air, and then obviously being that cold and all that,
well,
and then trying
came,
to come
I
back
I came back to this lovely Mississippi state, and it was so, even in December, so unseasonably warm. I was just so sick. And I still have congested. But anyway, I guess that's the least of my worries. Thank God there's a place.
It seems like there's been a lot of sickness, anybody I've talked to in any state, this just recently.
Let me ask you folks a question. On all your research and things that you do, please find this answer out for me for this question, please. How is it that our government and our scientists, and those who are doing medical research, et cetera, how can they predict 6 months in advance what strain of flu is going to hit us and where it comes from? Whether it's the Hong Kong flu, I mean, those days, the days of the Hong Kong flu, this kind of flu, the Asian flu, this kind of flu, that kind of flu, and this other flu, this new name they had for it this year. How do they do that?
I think they get it all from Al Gore because he invented the internet.
Well, they probably got it from his own tree he created, right?
That's it.
It's what you call an algorithm, a part of algebra.
That's good.
Well, that just kind of slipped up on me. I just had to think of that when you said algorithm. Algorithm.
I knew you'd get fired up in a minute.
Yeah, I've been kind of laid back at the CV, so I get fired, but I may come out with a lot more you might not want to hear.
Be inventing quotes.
Oh, yes. Might as well.
Darla, we're coming down. We've got 14 minutes left, so if you're going to share the quote that Bill told us you had, you better push one.
She actually has two quotes that she gives to me all the time.
I'm going to let your mom get back on this phone. Nice to talk to both of you.
Thanks for calling.
Nice talking to you. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay, Starla, you're on.
Okay. I have a granny quote.
Oh, good.
She says, "I can smell a dog on TV."
That's cute. That sounds just like her. She had such a cute way of saying everything that she said. Somewhere I've got a video of her telling me all kinds of stories so that I could put it in the book, but I have no idea where that video is. But one of these days I'll find it, and y'all will all be so happy that I have it. It's from before she even moved to Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
What's your other one, Starla, that Bill's been talking about? Uh-oh, she's chuckling already.
This is my favorite quote. "I would rather sit on a pumpkin and have it all to myself than to be crowded on a velvet cushion." Thoreau.
Like that. That is very Thoreau-ish. I haven't heard that exact quote before, but it sounds like something he'd say.
Like,
anybody wants to look up quotes, just look up Thoreau or Ralph Waldo Emerson. I think everything those people said was a quote. Kind of like me. Thank you, Jennifer.
Come on, Charlie. You got that other one that you say all the time.
What's that?
Usually about the time I do something that really aggravates Starla, she'll come up and say that the more things change, the more they stay the same.
I do remember that one. By the way, Jared was 4, not 8.
Oh.
4 when he said that?
Yeah.
Man.
He's so cute.
I think it's whole. Of course, Jared had his own language for things, too. Like, what was his thing for
edge.
Air conditioning? You know,
edge.
The edge.
Turn
on the edge.
And peanut butter in my hand was Butterfinger.
Yeah. Aw, that's cute.
He is a cutie.
Here's another Tom Robbins one. "Our individuality is all that we have. There are those who would barter it for security, but blessed in the twinkle of the morning star is the one who nurtures and rides it in grace and love and wit."
Yeah.
Talk among yourselves.
Deep in thought.
Gail, if you have another one, you better pop it out. We got 11 minutes.
I'm just listening. Y'all are good.
I got a Johnny Scheel quote.
We should have a Johnny Scheel. Mom, we've been talking about he might do a Johnny Scheel interview.
Oh, that'd be great. He's going to do, our pastor's sister passed away, and he's going to be over the funeral this Saturday.
Oh.
He used to say that signing your name in a church book doesn't make you a Christian any more than writing your name on checking a preacher's hand. And signing your name in a church book don't make you a Christian any more than signing your name on a barn door and shaking a mule's tail don't make you a mule.
Now that's good.
That's Johnny Fred.
And then, remember that football player that was a preacher that came to church and someone told him, said, "If I was as big as you, that I'd fight bears with a switch?" And he said, "You know, I can tell you something, there's little bears too."
That's good.
One from our
president. And I don't know who said this. What?
Our president.
What about our president?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Got a little hyper there, didn't I?
I
can't believe.
Wake up, Bill.
Huh? how people are acting so goofy when he hasn't had 5 minutes. Give him 5 minutes, for goodness sake. Did everybody really think he would just have some magic wand and go right in there and just change everything and be like Superman and just everybody would just have prosperity and could just enter right into their little cocoon of goofiness again? No.
You know, what's going on is that people are losing their jobs all across the country. The dollar is dropping. The Dow keeps dropping, and people have no hope. And so people are looking for our government to fulfill a need in their life that's really not the government's job. And so because of their expectations being so high in that regard, that's why people are so passionate in making all these remarks that they're making.
I don't know.
It's like being scared. When you're scared, you say a lot of things that you don't really mean sometimes. Kind of like when you're mad, you might say something to a family member you don't really mean. You're just kind of venting. And so a lot of people are venting right now because in this day and time, they're looking for our government to fix things. It's really not the government's job to fix.
Here's my quote y'all probably already seen, and it goes with what we're saying, but it goes out with all my emails. Change, however, does not occur magically. It represents individual and collective pioneering efforts. You can still choose to be a pioneer, and I hope you will do so, which is not me, but Stephen Breyer hopes you will do so. Everybody's got to do their part for there to be a change. There is a change. You can just feel it in the air. There is really a lot going on right now in the world, it seems like. Some parts
it reminds me of something I heard somebody say, and I kind of took it to heart. To have a revival, you got to be a revival. In other words, it has to start with you as an individual before you can look for like a revival in your church, or like you're saying, everybody's got to do their part. To look for things to change, we got to change our way of thinking. We got to change the way we do things.
Like Gandhi,
that's what Barack says.
Exactly.
He's trying to motivate us.
Yeah. And
but nobody likes change. Changes. You got habits, you know, there's things that you want that are important to you, and it makes it hard to shift those things around. Some things you don't want to change.
Well, change is stressful. Even good change is extremely stressful. I like the word you used a while ago about pioneer. If you really allow yourself to get the concept of what a pioneer is, to be able to let go and step out into the unknown and be willing that even though you may never acquire, you know, the things that you would maybe think that you want, you're willing to really take that risk for your sake and for everybody else's. It's a time right now where God's asking us all to be willing to do that. You know, don't point fingers. Like what you said, Richie, about when we begin to try to expect our government or our president or anybody to make it for us, we're way beneath what we were created to be, because we've all got the ability to make a big difference every day of our life and
exactly.
In the world, you know.
And Gandhi said, be the change you seek. I've always liked that quote.
Absolutely. That is excellent. It's sometimes just like change is very stressful. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's really worthwhile. It's really the only thing to do that's going to change the whole world. And it's so easy to throw rocks at everybody and everything.
That's what's frustrating to me, because obviously everything there, you know, can't go on like it was. It's crashed and burned. But that can be a good thing because... And I think everybody has played a part in it, like I said earlier, but everybody except Jones has, you know, knows what it feels like to get in debt. And how do you get in debt? Because you're buying things that you can't afford to pay off that next month. I've done it to a ridiculous degree, not once, but twice. Just, you know, so I'm not trying to say that something bad about the people who have messed it up on the bigger level. I think America as a whole just really needs to dial it back a notch on what we think we need as far as material things.
I got the solution to the whole thing. I got it all figured out. And it's not on me. And, Mama, I'll let you quote it.
Yay,
where
Mommy.
It starts off, where it starts off, if my people that are called by my name
will humble themselves. Humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, I'll hear and I'll heal their land. And that is probably the core of everything. There's another scripture where Jesus said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path, and he will direct my path. I don't have to look to you to direct my path. What I do have to do is to look to you, love me, because love is, oh, I tell you, love is so unbelievable. I mean, we can have platitudes, and but
she's about to quote the Beatles, guys. Love is all we need.
I was thinking 60s all of a sudden when she was sitting there talking about love, love, and I thought, that sounds like a 60s thing.
All
really?
We need is love.
It was.
Wah,
it was
wah,
a,
wah, wah, wah.
It was a, in the Jesus movement, it was love. And with, what's that fellow we like so much that
John Lennon?
Plane crash. That,
oh, Keith Green.
Keith Green.
Yeah.
He really put it, whatever, he was there. He was just right there with everything he believed. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching him. I seem like I appreciate him more now than I ever did.
He was definitely.
It's funny you see people with talents like that that are gone, which kind of reminds me, my son, you know, was in Iraq, and he found out that his lieutenant was killed over there Saturday. And here we think we, sometimes it's, you know, if you don't have family that's over in Iraq right now or in Afghanistan, you sort of forget about everything, and everything is all about what's happening right here. But it was just a senseless type thing. There were MPs, they were meeting with the military police or the police for the Iraqi policemen that they're helping train and work with to support. And right there in the compound where they were these radical people that were not real policemen dressed as police that turned their guns around and fired it on our soldiers. And one of the men from Murfreesboro, a young lieutenant, was killed that was in my son's unit while he was over there. So it's, you know, things seem bad here, but so far we don't have, you know, that type of incident going on. You know, there's so many things to be thankful for. Just the fact that we got this much family left, you know, we make jokes about how we're all dwindling down and everything, but
we're dropping,
you know,
like
we can
flies.
All get together.
It was a tough 5 years for us, family-wise.
It was.
Yeah, that's right. There's still, and you've still got little Bill in the wings.
He's medium Bill now.
That's what Uncle Bill. Hey, now we got an Uncle Bill quote. Oh, we can all do Uncle Bill's quote. Easy. But Uncle Bill said at Grandma's funeral when I called Little Bill, he said, I think he ought to at least be medium Bill by now.
Talking about Uncle Bill reminds me of trying to do that good deed over at this truck stop. I saw this man sitting out on a piece of cardboard on the cold ground, and he looked really, really bad and dirty, and he was trying to get money from people and everything, and I sat there and watched him, and I went over and I said, sir, I said, I'm not going to give you any money, but I'll buy you a meal. I'll take you in the truck stop and I'll buy you some tea. Go in and get more. And he said, I didn't ask you for a meal. I was asking for money. He wasn't interested in, you know, he wanted whatever, if he was addiction or whatever, he wanted the money from me. He wasn't interested in the meal. So somehow or another, it always reminded me of Uncle Bill.
Well, that's not very flattering.
That's a
I'm
going to
start coughing.
At least I can bring the house down with a laugh. Mom, give quote that scripture again, all the way through.
Poor Mom! Like Starling with the money.
What's funny was, you know, with the ADD principle, sometimes people do that to me. Look up the scripture for me so I can read it about my people that are called by my name.
Thank goodness she's got an assistant.
That's right. But right in front of everyone, I think I told y'all last time, she asked me a question, and I didn't know for sure what my name was at that very moment. And then someone else did that to me the other day, so I think I'm going to, I don't know.
very humbling, though, be looking very, very blank. But anyway, it's, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, because she's eating her popcorn.
Oh, we're off the air.
We're off?
Yep.
Well, we're off the air until we stop.
Well, I mean, but we're off the air if there was anybody that was just listening, although maybe they couldn't hear us anyway. But, yeah, this will be in the archive.
2 Chronicles 7:14 was the scripture. Y'all are delightful, and you know what? This is the only time I get to visit with you. I wish we could have a program every day.
See, if nothing else, it gives us a scheduled time to talk to each other.
Yeah. Jennifer?
I'm still here.
She's still there?
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have babies and get up early in the morning, and we think this is late.
Well, I did,
some
too.
Some of us are sitting right outside the gate to the railroad yard. I got to go in here and try to figure out how to work your computer and drop this trailer, and then I got to take this big old long truck out to find a place to park.
Wait.
Y'all all get to go to bed.
What was Bobby? You're special. You are special. I love y'all, and let me hear from you some other time.
All right.
Love
well,
you.
See you guys next Tuesday at 10, I guess.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wait, what?
Bye.
What,
the
Bill?
Thing they used to say, with no warning and no provocation, a baby cried.
My mom is already gone.
Yeah,
let's gossip about her. When she was saying that she listened to the archive, I was like, I couldn't remember if I said anything ignorant.
I had a potty mouth.
Oh, well. Whatever it was, she either didn't listen close enough to care or long enough to care, because she said she liked it.
Very good, because we were talking about the things about Dad, and then we were talking about how we still had some family that we needed to concentrate on trying to have more relationship with.
Yeah, I think I named that person.
Yeah, we did name Grandma. I did talk about Grandma today, and now I am going to gossip about her, because this woman in my job, she claims to be, you know, this real loved Christian and lives her life right and all these things. And
you don't love her?
Anyhow, no, I don't. Anyhow, she went and got a tattoo. And
well,
I let the day go by. And I finally, today, I told her, I said, my grandmother would have a field day with you. Because, I mean, you know, with the Bible.
I've seen people who have religious tattoos.
Yeah, but it's still, it
I think
completely
Sarah
goes against
one
the Bible. I mean, if you live your life by the Bible in the book, or, you know, however it goes. But the point being, because I even had to quote it, but didn't know exactly what scripture, and I did tell her it's been way too long since I read the Bible, but it does say in the Bible you're not supposed to mark or pierce your body.
It's in Leviticus.
Oh, see? I'll tell her to call my mom next time.
Tell her to call in the radio show.
I should tell her.
And all wisdom will be revealed to her.
Just,
okay, guys, what's going to be the topic next week? Everybody, what do you think?
Let's
something
just let
funny.
Starla teach us a lesson, and then we'll all call in with questions at the end.
Okay, it's going to be on dogs.
Dogs.
Aww.
The thing
got
with
all
that I'll... It's not a quote, but, well, it is kind of a quote, and I can't even say it right, but it's something along the lines, if your kitchen ain't clean, your house ain't clean. How does it go,
Mom? Watch it.
Well, no. I don't know how she always said it, but I do believe it. You.
If your kitchen ain't clean, your house ain't clean?
Well, it's you never worded it like that.
But let me
but
repeat,
it was,
watch it.
At least he used to say a clean house is a happy house. A clean
watch
home
it.
Is a happy home.
You're going to make me pee my pants.
All remember was,
you know I can mute you people.
If Mom ain't
he
happy,
has
ain't
the
nobody
power.
Yes, Mom, you have that on a plaque somewhere.
No,
if Mama ain't happy,
ain't nobody happy.
Yeah, you have that on a plaque. Do you still have that?
Yes.
She's also got a T-shirt that says, "You can't scare me, I've got children."
Yes.
I need that. Or, no, I think having children has made me jumpy. Now anybody can scare me.
So do we want to set up next week so people can call in and give dog stories or pet stories?
That's a good choice. Everybody loves their creatures.
Oh, man, we got some sad pet stories and some good pet stories.
We shouldn't mix our telling pet stories with our telling poppy stories because y'all got an awful one of those.
There's two or three of them.
I was very impressed with you guys for moving on after that. I don't even know. That
was a gunfight at the OK Corral.
Exactly.
No, he was so Paul three.
I am going to hang up and go to bed.
Also,
I got to get over here and deliver this and everything. But for everyone that's listing this in the archives, we're still learning the system. It looks like next Tuesday night at 10 o'clock, we're going to set up a show where everyone can call in and tell us your favorite pet story, any pets you have. It don't matter if you got a frog or a snail or a dog or a cat. Of course, in our household, there is no pet besides fish and dogs. And the dogs fish stay outside. So.
Me is a good dog.
We got some good fish.
Thanks, everybody. It was good talking to you.
Love
everyone. Thanks for being up and mixing us. George is the one who operates our board, and we want to thank her for doing an excellent job.
Woo-hoo!
All right, way to go, George.
Yay. And Bill for pulling over on the side of the road and messing up his delivery, being faithful to be here.
Yeah. Some people waiting to get their Cocoa Puffs, probably not going to be near as happy. I got a truckload of Cocoa Puffs.
You're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
That's a quote.
Find a place.
Yeah, there you go. All right, see
you
guys next Tuesday.
Love you.
Later.
Bye.
Right,
bye. Good night.